Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. A big docket yet again today. First, officers' motions to dismiss in the George Floyd case reveals new information. Second, let's give Robert Kraft a hand. The appeals court gives him a happy ending. Third, the ex-Ohio speaker still can't get an attorney. Fourth, if you think you've had a bad day, go ask Steve Bannon how his was. Police are asking for help in an arson case here in Denver. We have our cold case of the day, as well as our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Let's get started. First, if you haven't already done so, we'd ask that you hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or go live. And as always, leave us a comment below. Now, first on the docket, audio of the investigator's interview with one of the officers in the George Floyd case has been released in hearings. Let's see what new information it revealed. This interview was with Officer Thomas Lane, and it was conducted by the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension shortly after George Floyd died back on May 25th of 2020. The audio contains statements by then Officer Lane as to his perspective regarding George Floyd's arrest and ultimate death. Officer Lane stated, "Once Floyd kind of stopped fighting us, I think I had said again, I think we should roll him over on his side." Lane said that he believed former officer Derek Chauvin, who was seen in the video with his knee on Floyd's neck, had told him that the other two officers continued to hold Floyd on the ground and that the ambulance was on the way. Lane said, "That made sense to me just because I've experienced people who are overdosing and they'll be out 1 minute and then they'll come back, you know, to be really aggressive." Now, why is that significant? As we learned yesterday, based upon filings in this particular case, that the attorneys for now ex-officer Lane was saying the autopsy results show that George Floyd had methamphetamines and fentanyl. As somebody corrected me last night, it's not fentanyl, it's fentanyl. And it was in his system to the point where it could cause his heart to basically stop. So that is interesting new developments is why they did what they did. Now, certainly not saying it's justification that Mr. Floyd is deceased, but these are the arguments that the defense is going to make to get their clients acquitted. The question is going to be, did these officers act in a reasonable manner based upon the information that they knew at that particular time? All four officers involved in George Floyd's death have been fired from the Minneapolis Police Department and charged with his death, obviously. Ex-officer Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, manslaughter, Lane as well as J. Alexander Koenig and two Tao have been charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder and manslaughter. And those are a reckless standard. So you have to do something with complete disregard for the facts there. It sounds like the attorney for Mr. Lane is laying out his defense in his motions to dismiss that there's no probable cause that a crime existed whatsoever. That's the basis for these motions to dismiss. There's no probable cause. There's no evidence that a reasonable person could believe that Officer Lane committed a crime. That's the argument that his attorney is making, and we'll see if it has any significance to the judge. Personally, these types of motions are viewed in the light most favorable to the prosecution. The evidence goes in the prosecution's favor. It sounds like something that ultimately a jury will decide. However, since the judge has lifted the gag order in this case, the defense, particularly Mr. Lane's attorney, has been doing a pretty good job of getting his side of the events out there. I can tell you, I've read a lot of the comments and I've received a few emails from people directly stating, "I wasn't aware that Mr. Floyd was had methamphetamine and fentanyl in his system. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we're not making this up. We're not skewing the facts in any particular way, but it's changed some people's minds. It may not change other people's opinion as to the case. Frankly, it's your opinion. I'm not telling you how to think. We're just giving you the facts. I think ultimately a jury will decide whether these officers conducted themselves appropriately or not. And as you can see, obviously from the booking photos from all these individuals, one of the officers is African-American, one is Asian, and the two others are Caucasian. Don't necessarily think that it is a racial thing on behalf of George Floyd. It's more of a police thing against Mr. Floyd is what most people have been making the argument for since Mr. Floyd's death. Obviously, you know, nobody wants anybody to die. It's going to happen, and hopefully justice will prevail for whichever side was correct. And remember, if the defendants lose, they will appeal. Next on the docket, let's give Robert Kraft a hand because the Court of Appeals has given him a happy ending. That's right. The owner of the New England Patriots, Mr. Robert Kraft, got a big win this past few days. That's right. This win didn't come on the football field. No, this win came in the judicial system. The Florida Court of Appeals agreed with the lower court's decision to throw out the video evidence that was going to be used to prosecute the 78-year-old in a massage parlor prostitution case stemming back to January 2019 of an investigation at the Orchards of Asian Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida. Now, originally, Mr. Kraft was charged in February of 2019 with two counts of misdemeanor solicitation. But the video that was viewed as a key piece of evidence in this case couldn't be used because it violated the privacy of the dozens of other spa visitors who weren't involved in the alleged incident. All right. The three-judge panel then agreed and said that the trial court below made the right decision and the district attorney cannot use that evidence. As you may recall, ladies and gentlemen, the police were trying to get information as to particular people as it related to solicitation or acts of prostitution. But they weren't keeping it to just a few people. They were keeping it to everybody that came into the spa. Well, you can't just throw a hidden camera in a spa and wait and see what pops up. You have to actually have probable cause to the people that you are investigating. So Mr. Kraft continues to not have a criminal record. And we gave Mr. Kraft the presumption of innocence. And aren't we all glad that we did? All right, ladies and gentlemen, take a look at this human being. That's right. This is the ex-Ohio House Speaker, Larry Householder. Now, he was indicted little over a month or so ago for, I don't know, using his position to oversee a $60 million bribery scheme in Ohio's $1.3 billion nuclear bailout law that he just happened to orchestrate, profiteer from, and now ultimately got himself indicted. One of my pet peeves is public servants getting rich, even the ones that are stealing. You don't get rich while you're in public office. You just don't do it. Well, Mr. Householder's having a problem. And there are certain people that even attorneys don't want to represent, and that is apparently politicians. Well, not really. I say that in jest. But apparently, Mr. Householder's current attorney believes that there is a conflict because he represents some other individuals related to this case. And so Mr. Householder's attorney said that he is citing an ongoing matter that creates a substantial risk that his ability to consider, recommend, or carry out appropriate course of action for both clients would be materially limited by Taft's responsibility to other clients. So Mr. Taft, the attorney, saying, Judge, I can't have two clients and do them both my best job. It wouldn't be fair. Does that sound familiar? Kind of like Lori Vallow, remember? Oh, I represent both people, but you got to get off. So Mr. Householder's attorney, Mr. Taft, says, I can't do it. The problem is, though, that they can't find anybody else that either wants to represent Mr. Householder or they don't have a conflict themselves. And the attorneys probably don't want to represent him. So they're saying, ooh, I think I got a conflict. So you would think, though, with Mr. Householder, when his $60 million bribery scheme, he would have set a few bucks aside for getting caught. Oh, that's right. He didn't. No, he used it to pay off his Florida condo because he thought he wasn't going to get caught. So Mr. Householder will go back in court a couple of weeks. The court continued the arraignment so that he could seek counsel and get this matter rolling. The court made an ends of justice continuance and stated that Mr. Householder will be back in 2 weeks and that he should have new counsel by then. So Mr. Householder, ex-Speaker of the House in Ohio, Householder, we wish you luck getting counsel. Good luck with that. But what's interesting to me is though he was expelled by the House in Ohio as ex-speaker, he's still technically a member of the Ohio House of Representatives. You would think he'd have the decency to resign with the charges hanging over his head. But I think somebody thinks they're somewhat above the law. But we'll give him that presumption of innocence. All right, a quick recess on the docket. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm telling you, you will thank me for this later. If you go to crimetalksearch.com, you have an opportunity where you can sign up for a background subscription service. And when you do that, you have the ability to search anonymously as many people as you want. And in that background search, the computer will search literally millions and millions of records and prepare a report while you wait. And that report will include social media information. It will include phone numbers that the person that you're searching has used. It will include emails. It'll include criminal histories, bankruptcies, civil judgments, as well as marriage and property records. Ladies and gentlemen, think about it. How many times have you wondered about somebody? Are they for real? Are they faking it? Do they have a history? Do they not? Wouldn't you love to be able to find out just like that and be able to do it to anyone that you can, all legally? It's searching public records information, but it would take you weeks, if not months, to search all these records individually when it can all be done one hit of the button. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for that background search subscription. You can cancel anytime you want, but once you have the ability to do this, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to want to keep it. You're going to see the value of it. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be glad you did. Well, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever thought to yourself, wow, what a bad day it's been? Well, you can always ask Steve Bannon to help keep things in perspective. That's right. New York federal prosecutors on Thursday charged Mr. Steve Bannon, who was a former advisor to the now President Donald Trump. And he was charged with defrauding donors of hundreds of thousands of dollars as part of a fundraising campaign purportedly aimed at supporting Trump's border wall. Now, Bannon, 66, was apparently having a pretty good day yesterday, but then he was arrested on a yacht off the east coast of Connecticut by federal agents along with the United States Postal Inspection Service. Now, during his initial court appearance today, which was done via video, Mr. Bannon pleaded not guilty and was set to be released on a $5 million bail secured by $1.75 million in cash and real property. Now, as a condition of his bail, he is prohibited from traveling on private airplanes, yachts, or boats without permission of the court. Now, you know you've got a pretty good life if that is the terms and conditions of your pretrial release. Most people, their conditions are don't leave the state. They don't think you're going to leave the state on a yacht or a private plane. They just say don't leave the state. So I guess they had to be very, very specific. They want to know where he is, obviously concerned that he would be a jumping bond. But which doesn't make much sense to me because my understanding was that Mr. Bannon was a very successful trader on Wall Street, I think with Goldman Sachs, and was probably worth like a cool $500 million. So I'm not really sure how he got involved in this little scheme, but Mr. Bannon, along with three others, were indicted for allegedly using hundreds of thousands of dollars donated to an online crowdfunding campaign called We Build the Wall for personal expenses, among other things. Now, Bannon and another defendant by the name of Brian Colfag promised donors that the campaign, which ultimately raised about $25 million, was a volunteer organization and that 100% of the fundraising money raised would be used in the execution of their mission. Apparently, it's alleged that that is not exactly what happened. Apparently, $1 million from the Build the Wall was secretly paid to Colfag, and hundreds of thousands of dollars in Bannon's personal expenses were also paid. Colfag, it is alleged, spent more than $350,000 of the donations on personal expenses, including cosmetic surgery, a luxury SUV, a golf cart, payments toward a boat, not clear if it was the yacht that he was on the other day when they were arrested, home renovations, jewelry, personal tax payments, and credit card debt. Bannon, Colfag, and the two other defendants, Andrew Badalato and Timothy Shea, are charged with one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, one count of conspiracy to commit money laundering. Now, the wire fraud is simply commit an illegal act over state lines using a electronic telephonic wires. So if you're going to transfer money from one state to another with the intent to deceive or to take it as theft, and you do it over state lines via a telephone, you know, wire transfers, bank records, all those things, you've just given jurisdiction to the feds for wire fraud. The money laundering obviously is taking money when it wasn't authorized to do so and avoiding paying taxes. Since a plea of not guilty was entered under the Speedy Trial Act in the federal system, Mr. Bannon's trial should proceed in about 70 days. Now, the attorneys may file for an ends of justice or even a complexity hearing, but that may not necessarily be the case since this sounds pretty straightforward. They either have the information showing that the money was sent or it wasn't. It's what is referred to as a paper case. We'll see how things fare for Mr. Bannon so he can get back there on that yacht as quickly as possible. Can you imagine the rude interruption? Jeez. Kind of reminds me of that clip from The Wolf of Wall Street where they were on the boat and they come and talk to him and he basically tells them to get the f*** off my boat. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is not a very good picture. In fact, for those listening on the podcast who can't see this picture of three people who look like they're wearing masks, obviously. It looks like something out of some sort of horror movie. These three men are wanted by the Denver police, and this is a surveillance photo taken of three people in full face masks who are suspects in starting a house fire that killed five family members, including an infant and a two-year-old child. The victims were Jibril Deal, Abja Deal, and their two-year-old daughter, Kaja, and Jibril's sister, Hassan Deal, and her infant daughter, Hawa Bey. There were three additional people that were inside the house, and they were able to jump to safety from the second floor. According to arson investigators, the fire appears to be deliberately set, and they believe that these three unknown individuals wearing dark hoodies and full face masks who fled the area in a dark-colored four-door sedan are suspects, or at least persons of interest that they would like to speak to. There's actually a $14,000 reward, and the victims are members of the Denver's Senegalese community, and the National Muslim leaders called on the police last week to investigate this as a possible hate crime. The police are not commenting whether it was a hate crime or if there's something else. Obviously, these types of cases are tragic, but once you dig into people's histories, you never know what you are going to find. But obviously, our condolences go out to the family, and if these men had something to do with it, obviously, they need to be charged and brought to justice if the government can prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. If anyone has any information, they should contact the Denver Police Department. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, today, on our cold case of the day, this case is being referred to as Betty the Bag Lady, Berrien County, 1992. Now, Not my description. This is the police description. Let's hear what this case is about. Obviously, we believe that these type of cases should be solved, not only for the deceased, but for the family members so that they can have closure. So if anyone has any information, please forward it to the police. Someone somewhere knows something. So in the evening of August 23rd, 1992, a passerby noticed what appeared to be a body wrapped in a black plastic bag 15 feet off the side of a rural road near Red Arrow Highway in New Buffalo, Michigan. The nude, decomposing remains of a white, Caucasian, elderly woman were found wrapped in a sheet and inside two garbage bags, with her feet wrapped in an institutional-type white towel. Both her hands and her dentures were missing. Forensic scientists determined the body had been dumped about 24 hours prior and that the woman had been deceased from 4 to 7 days. Investigators speculate that she may have come from a care facility in either northern Illinois or Indiana. Remains were found of a female. They believe that she was between 65 and 70 years old, and the body was located in New Buffalo, Michigan. If anyone has any information about this particular case, they should contact the Michigan State Police Special Investigations Section and ask for Scott Ernestus, Detective Sergeant, at 269-657-5551. Let's see if we can't help solve this case. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day is a Florida man, and he was arrested for punching a neighbor over a dispute regarding the placement of a political sign. Now, the newly minted defendant, Anthony Vulo, 55, admitted to tossing the sign from his neighbor's front yard in the town of DeBary, Florida, and apparently that sparked a confrontation with his neighbor. And apparently the reason for the tossing of the sign and the altercation was that he believed that his neighbor had deliberately placed his political sign in front of his own sign. Apparently there was some brief shouting match before some shoving and the alleged punch that connected with the left side of the neighbor's face. The altercation was apparently broken up by other neighbors and the neighbor declined medical attention. Mr. Vulo alleges that the neighbor pushed him first. And we know, what do we know, ladies and gentlemen? Self-defense, right? Push. But your response has to be reasonable. So a push, you push back. Not a push, you punch. You can't do that. It's not reasonable. It's excessive. He also then claimed that he would have only struck the victim after the neighbor tried to punch him and he missed. So that would possibly be self-defense on the, not the push, but the swinging of the punch a second time through. Well, Mr. Vulo, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, most cities have ordinances regarding the placement of these signs. They can be put out, but they usually have to be brought in or removed a short time after the election. Now, here's the thing. If you put up a yard sign and somebody puts their yard sign in front of yours, you could just simply move your side back in front of theirs. And eventually, everyone will keep moving their signs until they hit the street and they won't be able to put up their political sign. Ladies and gentlemen, this is political speech. If he puts up one sign, go put up two. If he puts up two, put up three. You can do that. But it's not worth going to jail for and getting arrested. So Mr. Vulo, we've said it before, we'll say it again. Sometimes you gotta just let things go. But you didn't, so you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. And ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a winner of the dumb criminal contestant to be the recipient of a Crime Talk mug. No, you can go to the link below and order it yourself along with a bunch of other cool stuff. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Have a great day.